Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, who's about to bring us the Vatican Week in review. So, Joan, welcome back to Rome.
Well, I came back to cooler weather than when I left, and it was 73 in the shade the day I left for a week, and now we're wearing winter coats. But
the Pope has been busy.
Activity didn't stop, exactly. And, you know, if we only had to talk about one event during the week today, I think it would have almost been last Sunday's Angelus. That was an amazing Angelus. The Pope, of course, always at the Angelus before reciting the prayer, reflects on the day's gospel and the readings. And he did this Sunday, commenting on Jesus' speech in Jerusalem, his talk about the end of time, when he exhorted the apostles not to be deceived by false messiahs. And he said, even nowadays, said the Pope, there are false saviors who seek to take Jesus' place, leaders of this world, gurus, holy men, people who want to attract hearts and minds, he said, especially of young people. But Jesus warns us, and to not follow them. And then he had some off-the-cuff remarks after that statement. He said, let us think of the many Christians and brothers and sisters who do suffer persecution for their faith. He said, there's so many of them. And we're going to hear that again later in the week when he meets with all the patriarchs of the Eastern churches. But Jesus said, there are so many who suffer. And he said, perhaps even more than in the first centuries, but Jesus is with them. Then the Holy Father, this was a wonderful thing. After reciting the Angelus, Pope Francis proposed a way of consolidating the effects, if you will, of the Year of Faith, which closes, of course, this coming Sunday in St. Peter's Square with the Papal Mass. And the Pope held up a small box, which I'm sure nobody in the square could actually see. But it was a small box decorated with a heart containing a rosary. And the Pope said, I'm not a pharmacist, but I do want to dispense some spiritual medicine. And he said, this is called, the rosary, the Misericordina. And he said, by the way, folks, this is in a little box that the volunteers here in St. Peter's Square are going to give to you. And there were about 20,000 rosaries, many more people, so I suppose it was one to a family or something. And the Pope said, take it. He said, it includes a rosary so you can pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It provides spiritual support for your souls so we can spread love, forgiveness, and fraternal charity everywhere. And it's important to mention that we know that the Pope appointed a new almoner, the head of the Office of Almsgiving or Papal Charity in the Vatican. And this is an Archbishop, Konrad Krajewski, who for many, many years was in the Office of Liturgical Celebrations of the Holy Father. And he now heads this Office of Charity. And this effort to give out these rosaries and everything, it was really spearheaded by him and by
Polish, isn't he?
He's Polish.
And the Divine Mercy devotion stems from there. Sister Faustina Kowalska.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was just a significant thing because we do know that Pope Francis wants this man, his almoner, to be very much in the public eye with charity. So Sunday, a big day, just getting everybody involved in St. Peter's Square and the Angelus, and then also lots of different happenings on Monday. Seems like the news could have been spread out a little more, but
The Pope keeps himself busy, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and the Vatican does, because the Vatican announced that Ernst & Young, which is a multinational professional services firm headquartered in London, they have been engaged to carry out the task of auditing and consultation with the governorate. And that's the administration, of course, that runs Vatican City, the fire department, stores, gas station, the stamp and coin office, health department, et cetera, and naturally the museums. We already know from previous months that Pope Francis has invited a group, the Promontory Financial Group, to look at EOR, the Vatican Bank, and APSA, the administration of the patrimony of the Apostolic See. And also on Monday, the press office announced the publication of a motu proprio in which Pope Francis officially approves the new statutes of the Holy See's Financial Intelligence Authority, the FIA. The Pope was busy receiving people Monday, and he received the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Perry Gladstone Christie. And then, and this is very significant, in the press office on Monday, there was a conference about the Year of Faith as it nears its conclusion Sunday the 24th. And the speakers, of course, included Archbishop Rino Fisichella, who's president of the Pontifical Council for Promoting New Evangelization, which is the council that was entrusted by Pope Benedict when he set it up to oversee the Year of Faith. And so Archbishop Fisichella noted that 8 million pilgrims came to Rome to celebrate the Year of Faith, and then mentioned the final three events. One we know happened on Thursday. The Pope visited the Camaldolese nuns of the Monastery of San Antonio Abate, and Saturday the 23rd dedicated to catechumens with the theme Ready to Cross the Threshold of Faith. And the Pope's going to greet more than 500 catechumens, but specifically receive 35 at the entrance to St. Peter's Basilica and ask the traditional questions that form the rite of receiving catechumens. Now, Sunday Mass, you might be listening to this after the Mass, but three important signs marked the closing Mass of the Year of Faith. The exposition of the relics of St. Peter, first time ever in the history of the entire Church. And then Pope Francis will give his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, to 36 people representing all categories of life, ministry, etc. And the third and very important gesture will be a gesture of charity towards the Philippine population. A collection will be taken up. Obviously, we hope that is hugely successful for these suffering people. So now the document that will be given out Sunday, it's important to note that this is under embargo, actually, until Tuesday, November 26, when it will be officially presented at the press office. Now, moving on in the week, good heavens, we have Wednesday, Archbishop Pietro Parolin, who is the new Secretary of State and had just taken up physically that position several days earlier. He had sent a telegram on behalf of Pope Francis to Archbishop Arrigo Miglio of Cagliari, president of the Sardinian Episcopal Conference, following the floods that struck the island of Sardinia on Saturday. An amazing, it sounded like it was almost unexpected, storm that claimed many lives, caused huge damage, material damage. Also Wednesday, obviously, the general audience that was in St. Peter's Square, and Pope Francis spoke. He dedicated his catechesis to the forgiveness of sins and recognizing the importance of the sacrament of reconciliation. He said that he goes to confession every 2 weeks because he, too, quote, is a sinner and he needs pardon. And he said, we all need this pardon. And he did explain that in confession, his confessor hears what I tell him, counsels me, and pardons me. And then I love this. He asked all priests who aren't kind to people to change their ways before administering the sacrament. So he said this service provided by all priests is a very delicate one because through them, every person should see that God never grows tired of forgiving. And that really is a constant theme if you think of it. God's love for us and his constant forgiveness of our trespasses and his mercy. Now, Wednesday afternoon, there was an event, not a papal one, but Archbishop Angelo Becciu, who's the substitute of the Secretary of State, he attended the funeral held in the city of Olbia, that's on the island of Sardinia, for the victims of the floods. And the Archbishop is himself of Sardinian origin, and he said at the end of the funeral, right, as a matter of fact, he said, as a son of this land, I join with deep affection in your prayers for your dearly departed brothers and sisters torn from their families by a cruel death. And he said, Pope Francis is spiritually among us. And of course, the Pope had sent a telegram of condolences and his closeness to those who had survived but were suffering. So then we moved to Thursday, and this really was a very big day. Much of the morning was dedicated to two audiences that the Holy Father had. He received the patriarchs of the Oriental churches and the major archbishops and in his first meeting, and he spoke of, he renewed his esteem for the spiritual heritage of the Christian East and recalled Benedict XVI's description of a church leader in his post-synodal exhortation, Ecclesia in Medio Oriente, the Church in the Middle East, the 2010 Synod, and the Pope gave this document September of 2012 to the bishops when he was in Lebanon. And then later Thursday morning, after the first audience, the Pope received not only the Eastern patriarchs and major archbishops, but also the members, the cardinals, bishops, etc., the members of the Congregation for Oriental Churches. A very long, very important talk to them, and the Pope at one point said, "My thoughts turn especially to the blessed land where Christ lived, died, and rose again, and where the light of faith has not been extinguished but burns brightly, the light of the East that has illumined the universal church from the moment a rising sun appeared above us, Jesus Christ our Lord." And, of course, the Pope obviously noted the huge problems in the Middle East, the conditions of life faced by the Christians in the Middle East. And he said some very beautiful words. "Tears often still flow in Syria, Iraq, Egypt, and other areas of the Holy Land." And he said, "The Bishop of Rome will not rest while there are still men and women of any religion whose dignity is undermined, who are deprived of the basic requirements for survival, robbed of their future, or forced to live as fugitives or refugees." And I think almost most importantly, he said, there is no way to envision, to even think of, to conceive of the Middle East without the presence of Christians. Now, the afternoon, you have a little more experience here than I do. The Pope visited, as we said earlier, the Camaldolese nuns.
Sant' Antonio Abate. It's a monastery at the foot of the Aventine Hill.
There, and he visited the community, and in his homily, he spoke about Mary. He called her the Mother of Hope, and he called on the nuns to be women of hope, and may that hope be nourished by listening, contemplation, and patience. And Francis said that while at the foot of the cross, when everything seemed dark and hopeless, Mary had hope. That hope has not been cut off.
Thank you very much. See you next week. And our thanks there go to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome.